that's one of the fruits that, or one of the fruit that I myself need to work on, and I'm sure that we all need to work on, and that's patience. So that's what we're going to look at today. An old phrase that we're very well known, or what we know very well, is patience is a virtue. And it's interesting to know that that phrase is dated back from 1360 to 1387, and it was found in a poem written by William Langland in his book Piers Plowman. We try to teach our children this, we try to practice it ourselves, but sometimes this is the hardest word sometimes for us to fully grasp and fully make it ourselves, make it us. Now, what we're going to look at here, patience defined by the dictionary. It's being able to endure difficult situations, tolerance of provocation, forbearance while under strain, especially during long-term periods. Thayer's definition is a steadfastness, constancy, endurance, sustaining perseverance. Both things are pretty close to each other. Definitions alone tell us that patience is not going to be something easy. And patience isn't going to be something sometimes that we even enjoy. So does God agree that patience is a virtue? Let's take a look at the Bible and see what he says. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And we'll see what God actually defines patience as. Romans chapter 8, verse 25 says, "But if we hope for that we have not seen, then do we, with patience, wait for it." So even God agrees, or even God has made it defined, that patience means waiting for something. Continuing on. It's not easy for us to understand patience. We go to the stores. We get all our food right away that we need. We go to McDonald's. We get our hamburgers right away, usually. We go to Burger King. We get it the way we want it. Whatever it may be, we live in a society where things are instant. We want to watch a movie, we can stream it instantly. We don't have to go to the store anymore. So much to our lives has been catered to us that things are instant. Gratification, instant, instant, instant. That we don't take the time to really understand what patience means. Let's go to Genesis chapter 29. We're going to see a biblical example here, Jacob, that shows us what it means to be patient. Genesis chapter 29, verses 18 through 30. If we recall the story here, it should be just nothing but a review. But 18 through 30. It says, "And Jacob loved Rachel, and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to thee than I should give her to another man. Abide with me. Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had in her." Imagine waiting 7 years for the spouse you were promised. Today's society, we can't even wait 6 months to a year sometimes. Here, Jacob waited patiently 7 years. But as we know, the story goes on. We continue on in verse 21. We see that it doesn't always work out that way. "And Jacob said unto Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her. And Laban gathered together all the men of the palace, or place, and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to him. And he went in unto her. And Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpah, his maid, for a handmaid. And when it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is it that thou hast done to me? Did not I serve for thee with Rachel? Wherefore thou hast beguiled me? And Laban said, it must not be done so in our country, to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill the week, and then we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet 7 more years. And Jacob also did so, and fulfilled the week, and he gave them Rachel, his daughter, to wife also. And Laban gave to Rachel, his daughter, Bilhah, his handmaid, to be her maid. And he went unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served him yet 7 more years. So a grand total, Jacob served 14 years to have a wife. Again, society deems we can't even wait that long sometimes. Some can't even wait till they're married. Unfortunately, Jacob must have had a lot of self-control, a lot of patience to wait for this promise. A great example for us. Another wonderful example that we have in the Bible, if we look back at Abraham and Sarah, let's take a look at Genesis 15. As we know the story here as well, Abraham being approximately 70 years old, being told that he's going to have a great nation come from him. Abraham, in Genesis chapter 15, starting in verse 1, it says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham, or Abram, sorry, at this time, in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the God came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars. If thou be able to number them, he said unto them, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord and counted it for righteousness. So we have Abram, roughly about 70 years old at this time, being told that he's going to have children. He's waited all this time of his life for a seed. Patience. Trusting in God that he will take care of him. Let's go to Genesis 17. Now we know when our study of Genesis before, we saw Haggai there. Sarah wasn't patient. We've seen that. But let's look at chapter 17, verses 1 through 8 here. It says, And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, so almost 30 years later this happens, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked to him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish a covenant between me and thee and on thy seed, after thee and their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after all after thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger, all land in Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. So not only was he waiting the 70 until he was over 70 to have that promise, but he waited another 30 years. Sometimes we pray to God and we say, God, I need this done in my life. I need this. Are we patient? Are we patient like these two examples here of Jacob and Abraham? Where, Lord, we trust you. We'll wait on you. Okay. Sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes we don't see that prayer being answered right away. Sometimes we think God's not listening to us. But here, God made this promise with Abraham, and if you continue reading, you see Isaac being born. God keeps his promises. It may take 30 years. It may take more. But God will answer our prayers. He listens to us. We must practice patience. Go to Genesis chapter 21, and we see that Isaac was born. 1 through 5, it says, And the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said to the Lord, did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, and set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son, Isaac being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. 100 years old to wait for a promise from God. Again, we can't even wait that long sometimes. The way our society is, everything is right now. God doesn't work on a right now schedule. It's his way, and that's it. In God's time, things will happen, not our own. It ought to be reassuring to us that since he kept those promises back then, that he's going to keep the promises now to us. Let's go to 2 Peter We were looking at Old Testament stuff. Let's look at something new. 2 Peter chapter 1. That whole list of traits that we must build upon, that we must learn on, that we must grow as Christians. Let's see if patience is in this list. Start in verse 5. It says, "And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you, and abound, they may make you, that you shall neither be barren, nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." I find it quite interesting enough that we need to learn temperance before we learn patience. They kind of go together, don't they? You kind of have to learn self-control, is what temperance means, before we can become truly patient. But it is, in verse 8, as we saw, if we have all these things, we will neither be unfruitful, nor will we be barren in the knowledge of the Lord. Again, the self-control goes beyond waiting at McDonald's and waiting for our food and instance. It's something we must struggle with all the time. We know that one of the things that we struggle with is man does not understand or know even when the time of God or when the time of Christ comes back. Sometimes we have brethren that fall away because, well, they decided he's not here today, so I really don't care. And that's a sad, sad state. But we see that. Let's go to Matthew chapter 24. I believe we went here earlier. 24:13. Now we are at 11. Christ may not come back today. He may not come back tomorrow. That doesn't give us a right to forgo him today and tomorrow and so forth. Verse 13, it says, "But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved." We need to have patience. Christ promised he's coming back. He said he's preparing a place for us. However, we must do our part. We must endure. We must be patient. Let's go to James chapter 1. Again, this is an interesting lesson because patience is one of the things I personally need to work on myself, and I'm sure everybody else struggles with it at times too. That's part of growing as a Christian. So James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. It says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." We often don't consider trials to be a good thing. We often think, oh no, now I got to deal with this. You know, I see that when I'm dealing with my child sometimes. Just you want to wring their neck sometimes because they won't listen to you or they won't do what you expect from them or they just don't do it the way you want it done. But God's telling us, God's teaching us that we must be patient. Waiting is a way to do what? Look at that in verse 4 again. So, "But let patience perfect work, that you may be made perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Those tribulations, those tests are there for a reason. To make us better, make us perfect, make us more God-like. Now, the tribulations, the problems, they aren't the source of our sin. It's our choice, our action of how we want to handle that situation. Do we want to follow it and lead the path of destruction? Or do we want to follow what Christ wants us to follow? That's where the problem comes in, is if we make the bad decisions. But if we take that good decision, we follow the path that Christ wants for us, we will be made more perfect, according to this verse. Let's go to 2 Peter. I mean, chapter 3, verse 9. We've looked at this many times over, but it ties in so well with what we've been talking about. "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as if some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that should come to repentance." God is patient. God has told us that if we repent, change our ways, that he'll forgive us, that we can inherit that kingdom. But we must trust him. We must follow him. We must be patient. He's a wonderful example, is he not, on patience, though? I mean, how many times did you go through the, if you read your Old Testament a bit, just reading the first few books, you can even see it, that the Israelites over and over again turned their back on God, yet he had patience with them. We have a struggle with that ourselves, don't we? We see new Christians or something, and all of a sudden they turn away and they start doing something wrong, and you're just like, why don't you get it? We have to remember to let them grow. We don't want them to continue in the sin, of course, but have patience with them. Let's go to James chapter 4. Kind of like our example with Christ up on the mountain with the devil. If we kept studying the scriptures, he knew the scriptures. He stuck with God's way. What happens? Verse 7, it says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We saw that exact same thing happen with Christ. We were patient, we waited on God, did what he said, followed and read, studied, learned more about it. The devil will flee. Couldn't be said any simpler. Speaking of long-suffering from the verses there, we saw that in the fruit of the Spirit, we saw in Galatians 5:22, if you want to look there. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So again, long-suffering is in there. Patience, having self-control, the temperance. Two traits that we definitely need to have. Now, if we turn over to Ephesians chapter 4, not too far away. Ephesians 4, 1 and 2, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein you were called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. We are to put up with each other. That's what we get. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Anyways, we are to love one another. It's hard, because you get two personalities together and they're going to clash. I know husbands and wives, you get this way. Clash all the time. It's the same in the brethren, but we are to be patient, forbearing one another, long-suffering. It's interesting. We have to remember at all times that you and I, you and the other folks around, all of us, none of us are on the same spiritual level. It'd be wonderful if we were all up there, but we're not. And we must remember that when we're dealing with others. We talked earlier this morning about dealing with outsiders, but here we got some people on the inside, fresh Christians that still need to grow. And it's our job to be patient and loving and kind to them. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. You should know this verse as well. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself and is not puffed up. And if, of course, your version might read love instead of charity. But if we're to love somebody, it's going to take time. We're going to have to endure. We're going to have to be patient, long-suffering. And we've studied love plenty of times. But isn't it interesting how love and patience, they just go together so well? You think God knew what he was doing, didn't you? Obviously he does. He made it that way. It makes it better. He's shown us patience throughout the Old Testament even. As we talked earlier about every time they forsook him, he was still there. He was still their God. But what about the times where they made their animal sacrifices? That was nothing until Christ came. We saw that. They didn't have forgiveness of sins until Christ came. But he had patience. He waited for them. Let's go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. Blood of goats and such was not going to cleanse them. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4 says, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of truth? God wants everyone to understand the truth. He's patient. Why hasn't he destroyed this world right now? Because there's more people out there to be saved. When the time's right, he will do it. But there's time to save people. There's time to reach out. There's time to talk to people, to teach them. And we must take advantage of that time. Let's go to James 1:19. This verse. It's a good verse. I think somebody else needs to open it real quick. Tris. Open. James 1:19. This is one he ought to be able to quote. It says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." That's dealing with a lot of patience, and it takes a lot of self-control to be these things. Because when somebody talks to you, the first instinct is you want to talk back. You want to be loose-lipped, or so, if you want to say. But how often, if we've been quick to anger, quick to wrath, have we gained a friend or gained an ally? In my experience, I've not gained anybody that way. Usually I end up with a foe, if anything. We're not teaching love and kindness if we're not slow to think, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Let's go to Ecclesiastes 7:9. It's after Proverbs. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 9. Give me a moment. It says, "Be not hasty in spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools." I believe we're among people that we can tell this to. If we're to quickly lose the fuse, blow the fuse, God has already deemed that we are fools. You know, this morning we said we couldn't, 14:1, couldn't just run out and show people that, but among the brethren, we can show that if we lose our cool, if we're not patient with people and listen to them, we're nothing but a fool. There's plenty of other Proverbs that we're going to look at. Let's take a look here at Proverbs 21. Actually, Proverbs 16. Let's go there first, since we're already in this section. 16:32. "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that can taketh a city." It's a great deal of control to not lose our cool. I come from a family, and I'm sure most of us here have, where dad ruled with an iron fist. And we're not talking the gentle, kind, spank you when you want, deserve it. Iron fist was do it his way, jump 10 feet if he said jump 5. We need to learn to control ourselves. Proverbs 21, verse 23. It says, "Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles." Again, this can apply to patience. If we're sitting there controlling ourselves, being careful of how we say things, another lesson I personally have to work on sometimes. It's not easy. Just letting your tongue go will not get us to heaven. Proverbs 25, verse 28. It says, "He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls." Proverbs 25, verse 28. Again, still applying. Need to have control. 29:11, another verse is quite similar. 29:11. And it says, "A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it until afterwards." Again, controlling our tongues, being patient, not being quick to be angry. If we are those things, we're a fool. And I don't think there's anybody among us that want to be considered a fool. I personally do not. I'm sure none of us do. Let's go to 2 Timothy. Becoming a Christian, it's not something that you can just flip on a switch and all of a sudden your old habits are dead. It takes time. I know a lot of people that when they're trying to quit cigarettes or something, they have a hard time. And why is that? It's because they're not putting something good in their lives to replace it. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22 and through 26. It says, "Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in the meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the knowledge of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." So again, where we're reaching out to other people, this is one of the things we need to remember, is they don't have the knowledge we do. They don't understand that God's way is the truth. We have to be patient, be loving, be kind, be slow to speak, listen to them, see where they're coming from. Be surprised what you might gain. Over and over again, in all these verses, there's no denying that to God, patience is a virtue. It's a wonderful thing for us to have. Whether it be patient with one another or if we're patient with God, we must learn control. And we must learn to wait on him. Let's go to Isaiah. Isaiah. Chapter 40. Almost every other sermon I'd hear, this verse was quoted. It's a very good verse, though. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. It says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not be faint." If we follow God, be patient with him, nothing's going to stop us. There's nothing we can't do. We saw how we could be stronger than those that build up cities or take down cities. Nothing can stop us. Proverbs chapter 3. I know I pulled us out of Proverbs earlier, but Proverbs chapter 3. 5 through 6. Proverbs chapter 3, 5 through 6. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Again, trust God. He will take care of you. He's made the promises. Trust him. Be patient. And we already saw in 2 Peter that God is not slacking in his promises. As you've been practicing your patience here today, you may have questions, you may have wondering through your mind what you must do to have that patience, to practice what God's wanting us to do. We must follow his plan. We must follow what God wants. Patience, trust in him, controlling ourselves, temperance. Upon hearing God's word, we have two choices. We can either take it and build upon it, grow, or we can throw it away, cast it off to the side. But we have been told in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27, we see the example that if we follow Christ, we can endure the storm. We can endure the problems that are in life. But if we build upon that sand, we're not going to. There is no other way. Mark 16 and 15 tells us that we must, if we believe, be baptized. But if we look at Acts chapter 2, verse 38, we see that there is more. Peter notes that we must repent, must change our lives. And that doesn't happen overnight. As we saw, we have to be patient with one another. And then we can grow. Again, Peter also mentioned that we had to be baptized, but that wasn't enough. We saw the eunuch in chapter 8 of Acts saying, "What stops me from being baptized?" And he says, "Confess Christ as the Son of God." And he does, and immediately is baptized. If there's any that need to respond, now's the time as we stand and sing this next song.